2107, Galbraith Development Group.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in the AR1 Agricultural Residential District for mini storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being Baltimore 100 in Sussex County containing 3.21 acres, more or less. The property is located on the northeast side of Muddy Neck Road, approximately 980 feet from Beaver Dam Road. The 901 address is not available. The tax map is District 134, map 17, parcel 8.09. Staff would submit into the record the staff analysis, the exhibit booklet, a site plan, the service level evaluation that did not require TIS, engineering comments from the Department of Engineering Division of Public Utilities that said it is in a sewer district. We received a letter from a Realtor regarding property values. We received one letter in support, and we received 13 letters in oppositions, primarily concerned with the use in the surrounding areas being primarily residential. Thank you.
Mr. Hunt.
Good evening, again, for the record, my name hasn't changed, I'm still David Hunt. I'm a local attorney here in Georgetown, and with me again is Mr. Christenberry from Axiom Engineering. He'll be presenting some details of the project, and also with us is Mark Galbraith with Galbraith Development Group, which is the applicant for this evening's application. The property that is the subject of tonight's application is situated along Muddy Neck Road between Parker House Road and Beaver Dam Road. The property is zoned AR1, and Mr. Christenberry is going to go over some of the details of the conditional use and the layout. What is being proposed is almost 46,000 square feet of a mini storage facility. There is, as was indicated by Ms. Cornwell a moment ago, we are familiar with the letters of opposition that have been submitted, and as you will hear during tonight's presentation, it's one of the good things about a conditional use, is through the conditional use process, as the commission is aware, there's the opportunity to ameliorate most of those types of concerns. And I think many of the concerns that are heard and that are referenced in those letters are actually directly addressed by the application prior to those letters having been sent to the commission or to the Planning and Zoning Office. For example, as was indicated by Ms. Cornwell, if you were going to broadly categorize or summarize those concerns, they are that there is a, this is a residential area, and they question the compatibility of a mini storage facility with a little over 46,000 square feet of space in the area. And the applicant himself actually lives in this area or owns a home, he intends to reside full-time here in the future. And so frankly, those were some of the same concerns that he had when he was considering undertaking this project. And that's why if you looked at the proposed conditions that the applicant did, again, prior to hearing from those neighbors, they are things like height limitations on the buildings of 15 feet, the access or the entrance to the facility would be a significant entrance, it would not look, it would not be barbed wire and chain link fence, it would not, his proposal is not to have a place that has 24/7 access. There is not a proposal to have, you know, towering lights that you would see, you know, in a big box store parking lot. So again, recognizing where he currently owns a home and hopes to reside full-time in the near future, those were some of the exact same concerns that he had, which is why he wanted to self-impose conditions that reflected all of those same many of the same concepts that are referenced as concerns in the letters that you, Ms. Cornwell just referenced. At this time, I'm going to ask Mr. Christenberry if he would walk through some of the site details, and then we will hear from Mr. Galbraith regarding, again, sort of summarizing what I just said regarding what he envisioned this to be when he submitted this application.
Good evening, Ken Christenberry with Axiom Engineering here in Georgetown. Your comprehensive plan does identify this as a developing area that is literally surrounded by a municipality. We are a stone's throw from being within Ocean View proper. That little yellow triangle right there is where we are. Just so you have an idea of what the comp plan is identifying the area as. This is the site on a tax map. And when you look at the zoning of the area, you can see there's a lot of medium density residential. There's a substantial B1 with the Melson Funeral Home and another business down here. I believe it's a landscaping business. So it's not as though Muddy Neck Road has no commercial component, but obviously the commercial component is limited, and neighborhood business is a zoning district that's not alien to this street. We decided to be a little more restrictive and go with a conditional use for the reasons Mr. Hutt shared, and that is detailed in our proposed conditions of approval that have been placed on the site plan and are included also. Proposed conditions are the very back of your book. We are in a level 3 area across the street from and adjacent to level 2, so it is an area where development is recognized. I mean, we're essentially surrounded by level 2. Literally, we're encircled by it, which is sort of unique. But obviously, it is an area that's developing. This is infill. This is not the extensive development in the area. This is something that's already surrounded. This is what the property looked like in 1992. As you can see back then, everything around us was farmed. Most of the residents were chickens. Come forward a little bit, and well, in 92, you can see as you go west, there are some trailer parks and a few residential developments west. Most of it's north and up over toward the beach. You come to 2005, you can see that there's been the start of Bear Trap and a lot of other developments in the area, so it really has started to be encircled by growth. And then as you get to the 2017, of course, now it's pushing towards into Millville and well west of us. And clearly, this is an area that's being fully developed. This is an infill project. This is what the property looks like as of last spring from the Google photos. And you can see there are houses around us, but the only house that's within 100 feet of the property is actually owned by the seller of this land. Is that correct, Mr. Galbraith?
I believe the seller's sister.
Seller's sister.
Sir, you would have to come up to the mic so we could hear.
Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you know who owns that?
I'm Mark Galbraith. I believe it's the seller's sister, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Yep.
The actual site data. The site does consist of 3.2 acres. And this is what the proposed site plan does look like. The entrance was located at the far eastern end of the frontage because there is a site distance concern to the east. We do go through a process with DLDOT where we evaluate the site distance. If there are concerns, we will go through their process that will involve making requests for site distance easements and things of that nature. But it also involves some strategy about where to put that entrance, because an entrance on the west end of this frontage would actually have a more significant concern on the site distance. The conditions of approval, I'm going to go ahead and read through these because they're not that long, but I think you'll find that they're very helpful in addressing a lot of the concerns that were on the record from the folks in the area that are wondering what the project is going to be like. Condition one, office hours shall be 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Customer entry shall be controlled by a security gate equipped with electronic keypad entry. Security lighting shall be motion sensor, building wall pack mounted, focused down onto the property. A single pole light shall be installed near the project parking lot and entrance. Light shall be focused down onto the property. Number four, the project shall have a single unlit sign with no more than two faces each, 32 square feet or less. Five, fencing along Sussex County Route 361 shall be ornamental, anodized aluminum. The rest of the site shall have perimeter secured by rear building walls and chain link fencing between the buildings. Number six, building and overhead doors shall be painted with earth tones, including tan, green, and brown. No industrial, orange, red, or blue facilities will be permitted. Storage buildings shall be single story. The maximum building height shall be 15 feet. And that's really at the peak of the roof. It may even come in less than that. My original data table did say a building height of 20 feet, but as we met and discussed conditions, he actually did offer that he didn't think he knew he could commit to 15 feet. If you look at next plan, has a little bit more detail. So the perimeter would be largely the backs of the buildings, which again are going to be earth tone. They're going to be tan. with a little bit of security fencing between them. And the frontage, the idea that Mr. Galbraith brought to us was from a similar site that he saw that he thought really had a very good curb appeal. So he knew that it could be done right. This was in our application before we read any letters from the community. This was not a response to the community. This was what's being offered at the outset. And in a conditional use, you can commit him to this. He can't, you know, with a, if we had B1, CR1, we could offer to do this and then change our mind because we find out it's too expensive. But with a conditional use, you all can hold him to that. The site will be significantly landscaped around the perimeter and the frontage. DLDOT's going to require a paved bike trail to essentially to nowhere, but someday somebody else will develop something and it'll no longer be to nowhere. But the front 15 feet of the frontage will be committed to DLDOT as an easement, and a bike path will be required in that location. We did meet with DLDOT and discuss the entrance, and then we sent in our service level evaluation request for the conditional use. And their answer that was offered May 31st was, because the proposed land use would not meet these warrants, we consider the development's traffic impact to be negligible. We do not recommend that the applicant be required to perform a traffic impact study for the subject application. We recommend that the applicant not be required to perform a traffic impact study for the subject application. The reality is this, a medium density residential development on this property would generate more traffic than the conditional use. And with that, I think I'd like to turn it back over to Mr. Hutt.
At this time, I was going to ask Mr. Galbraith if he would relay, I guess, sort of where this concept, the one that you see on the screen in front of you, where that came from, and a little bit about what he his goal is for this conditional use application.
Hi, I'm not much of a public speaker, so you have to forgive me. I've owned a residence nearby for approximately 13 years now. My wife and I have two daughters in high school, so our plan is within 4 years to move down here ourselves. I've been down visiting the area for my entire 45 years. So I, you know, started looking for ideas how to make that happen for my wife and I. We're not in a position to retire. So just exploring ideas, I started, you know, coming up with this idea, finding examples, someplace that I would want, you know, that I wouldn't be opposed to live near. And I'm obviously not opposed to live near something. I build for a living, commercial, industrial, and I know how to build things the right way and how to build things aesthetically pleasing. Certainly not interested in being a slumlord. I have friends around the area who agree with me the need of people in townhouses not allowed to have sheds, kayaks hanging off their back decks, bikes hanging off their back decks, single car garages full, you know, a car parked along the street because a single car garage is full. Something that I live through, my friends live through, so I really see, I see the need, and I try to think of a way to do it that, you know, would be right for the neighborhood.
Thank you.
As I mentioned at the outset, and you heard Mr. Christenberry note as well, the exhibit notebook and these photographs and conditions were in there prior to receiving all of the feedback from the neighbors. And as is indicated, I wanted to go over some of what was in some of their letters. There was concern that this is going to have 24-hour access 7 days a week, and that that creates a very commercial environment in their neighborhood. And as you saw on the screen, the hours of operation that is being self-imposed would be access from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., so it's not 24/7 access. There was also a great deal of concern referenced in these letters regarding light pollution and light spilling over from this site onto the residences nearby. And between the fact that there would only be one pole light at the entrance to the community, which frankly operates largely no different than a street light, and that the other lighting would be downward lighting on these buildings, which have a maximum height of 15 feet. You're not going to have light pollution leaving this site going on to the other properties. In addition, to prevent that, there's a landscaping plan that is also part of the exhibit notebook that would also help to alleviate any of those concerns. With respect to one of the other concerns was the overall appearance of a mini storage facility in this area. And at the as was indicated, there will be no chain link fencing along the front, and the only places where there might be chain link fencing would be between the buildings. The buildings themselves would form a part of the protective barrier so that people's goods are not subject to be stolen. And then there would be small stretches of possibly chain link fencing, but again, that would be at the sides and rear of the property, and frankly would be screened from public view. The portions of the fencing that would be visible to the public in passing would be what you see on the screen. Another concern that was referenced was, what would this do to property values? And one of the letters that Ms. Cornwell referenced was from a realtor who spoke to that issue and cited real live world Sussex County examples of how it's more common than you think to have mini storage that is adjacent to and nearby to residential dwellings. There are specific references in that letter to locations just outside of the Lewis area and how it certainly has not negatively impacted property values in that area. One of the letters, and by way of full disclosure, this letter was written in opposition, but I wanted to read part of it because, frankly, I think it says exactly what the goal of this application was and what was in the mindset of Mr. Galbraith when he put the application together. And this references, it's a letter from Christina Weaver, who may be here tonight, I don't know. And it states that although Melson's Funeral Home and the Inland Bays Garden Center, and those are the two B1 areas that you saw on the map. One of those is Melson's Funeral Home at the one end, and the other is the landscaping facility. So this is a reference to those. It says, although those are also on Muddy Neck Road, are commercial properties, their unobtrusive natural appearances blend with this residential neighborhood and should not be considered as relevant to the decision concerning a mini storage facility. That's exactly what this application was trying to do, was to blend in and have a small, we're not talking about a storage facility that's multiple stories tall, that's going to look like a commercial structure. This is going to be something that from the street looks small scale and low impact, and is situated, again, along a road that does have some B1 uses. And the purpose of a conditional use, this is not a change of zone application, so the commission would have a very heavy hand in deciding what those conditions would be, what the site plan would look like, and be able to enforce and ensure that there aren't buildings higher than 15 feet on the site, that the landscaping is appropriate, and that all the conditions that are being proposed are being met and followed. With that, that concludes our application. The applicant would ask again that the Planning Commission make a recommendation with the appropriate conditions to the County Council in favor of this application.
Thank you, Mr. Hutt. We'll see. Mr. Hudson, you want to start?
Yes. Thank you. On the portion of the property that you're talking about, walls, what would they be constructed of? Maybe I missed it. You talked about the color, but I'm not sure about what they would be.
Actually,
Mark, do you want to answer that?
What would the buildings be constructed out of?
No, the walls.
The fence?
Yeah, you talked about walls around portions of it.
The back wall of the storage building
itself forms that wall.
Okay, so you weren't talking about walls being around the perimeter.
No, the walls. Where'd you go with that picture?
The ornamental fencing that you see there is for the frontage on Muddy Neck Road.
Yes.
And the buildings that you see in the back, the ones that are on the perimeter, the back of those buildings would not have any doors. And the backs of those buildings would serve as the perimeter security.
I got you.
And then there'd be fencing just connecting between the two buildings.
Got you. Okay. And also, would you be putting any kind of buffer around the perimeter, vegetative buffer?
Yeah, in your book is a copy of the landscape plan.
Yeah, I just want to be sure of that.
Yeah, and that we've actually sketched what that buffer would be.
Yeah, I looked at it. I just want to be sure of that.
Part of the conditional use approval, you could reference this landscape plan.
And it is
part of the approval.
And it is one of the proposed conditions that there be a landscaping plan to buffer that.
And your the front that faces Muddy Neck Road would be something similar to the picture that you gave there.
Correct. With that, no chain link fencing, the anodized aluminum fencing with appropriate landscaping along there to be an attractive appearance along
the front. Okay. And what hours would an attendant be there or an employee? I'm not sure what the right word would be.
Go ahead, Mark.
6 a.m. to 9 p.m.
You would have someone working there every day then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I have no further questions.
Mr. Hopkins.
So it looks like cars basically drive around in the outer buildings, you say, that have that don't have doors on the outside. It looks like the way you've got it designed, it pretty much protects from the car lights flashing.
Yeah, very, very large. There's going to be very little glare coming from vehicles as you have any traffic warps its way around. And we could even, this maintenance gate,
that's the one
fence,
spot.
We could put slats in that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to make a condition that the maintenance gate was a visual barrier to headlights, that would certainly be a reasonable condition in my mind.
I don't have any other questions.
Mrs. Hoey Stevenson.
I'm sorry, you probably have this in there and I just missed it. Will the property be paved or what will be the gravel?
You intend to pave this, right? Blacktop? Yeah, blacktop.
Okay.
And if you want to make that a condition, that would be acceptable.
Let's see, all the questions I had. Nope, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
The only question I had is, you're requesting outside storage of boats and RVs.
Right in the middle of the buildings.
And that doesn't look like a very large area there to me.
It's not. And what sometimes happens with these projects is these interior buildings in here, if there was more demand for boat storage than buildings, those interior buildings may not get built. They could park boats in there. But the perimeter buildings, I think, would all need to go in and all the fencing. So if they never built the inside buildings and they had boats stored here instead in the open air, that's a possibility. Essentially, those interior buildings would be a second phase of construction.
Sure. Mr. Galbraith, how important is that outside storage of boats and RVs and automobiles? I think you have in here as well.
No, that's not important to me.
It's not?
No, sir.
Okay. We'll see if the public has any interest in your application. This is a conditional use. Site plan questions are appropriate. Is there anyone here in favor of conditional use number 2107? Anyone want to speak in favor? Would anyone like to speak in opposition to conditional use 2107? But we'll start up front. I always like to start in the front. People that are so courageous to sit up front deserve to be recognized.
I have... Pardon me, my name is Ron Golden. I reside at 38200 Muddy Neck Road in Ocean View. And I have actually a petition here signed by 156 neighbors in opposition. I also have several handouts. I brought five. I don't know how many I needed, but
that should be all right.
Considerable information in there as well, including photographs of the area. Should I?
Yep, nope.
In looking at the Sussex County Code, Chapter 115, Zoning, Article 4, AR1 and AR2, Agricultural Residential Districts, Section 115.19 indicates the purpose of these districts is to provide for a full range of agricultural activities and to protect agricultural lands as one of the county's most valuable natural resources from the depreciating effect of objectionable, hazardous, and unsightly uses. We argue that this application is in no way in compliance with the purpose of the agricultural residential district, nor does it meet any of the permitted uses identified in Section 115.20. Article 24, conditional uses, Section 115.171, states the purpose of this article is to provide for certain uses which cannot be well adjusted to their environment and particular locations, with full protection offered to surrounding properties by rigid application of the district regulations. These uses are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare, but because of the nature of the use, the importance of the relationship to the comprehensive plan and possible impact not only on neighboring properties but on a large section of the county require the exercise of planning judgment on location and site plan. We argue that this application for conditional use is in no way essential nor desirable, and we ask the Commission to consider the full protection offered to surrounding properties by rigid application of the district regulations. I have itemized reasons for objection. Item one, this parcel of land is located in a resort area only 2 miles from the beach within a heavily residential area with single-family residences located to its left, to its right, to its rear, and immediately across the street, as well as countless neighboring residential communities. There's photos provided of those as well. Item two, this location is not suitable for a mini storage facility. It is completely out of character with the immediate surrounding area. While there are four businesses located along Muddy Neck Road, these four businesses consist of Melson's Funeral Home, which comprises nearly 10 acres with predominant green space, which while zoned commercial is in keeping with the desired character of the agricultural residential district. Business B is a seasonal farm stand, which is also in keeping with the agricultural residential district. C, the Inland Bays Garden Center, also in keeping with the agricultural residential district, and D, Blue Sky Management, which while commercial is conducive with a residential appearance and lack of any considerable vehicle traffic in keeping with the desired character of the agricultural residential district. Item three, a conditional use of this type, which is essentially in the form of warehousing, is not appropriate for this location. The property is currently zoned AR1 agricultural residential, and the use of all adjacent properties and nearby properties, except those previously mentioned, maintaining characteristics of the agricultural residential district, are residential. The conversion of this property to a warehousing use is not compatible with the predominantly residential nature of this neighborhood and the residential roadways. Item four, the property is located on a very dangerous blind curve that will become increasingly dangerous and extremely hazardous given the increase in traffic that would result from a commercial warehousing use. This road, given its close proximity to the beach, becomes heavily used by bicycles and pedestrians during the summer and shoulder season months, which will exacerbate the hazardous conditions resulting from the increased traffic. The proposed conditional use site plan identified on page one, 555 feet site distance required, 370 feet site distance provided, indicating a lack of site distance on this corner. Item five, 19 large box-like warehouse buildings consisting of nearly 46,000 square feet of warehouse space are not appropriate for this site and are completely out of character with the residential setting of Muddy Neck Road. Item six, a conditional use such as this is more appropriate for property that has direct frontage on an arterial road such as Route 26, Route 17, Route 20, Route 54, or Route 113, where other commercial and business uses exist and where land availability is plentiful. That there are examples provided of that as well. Item seven, the location of a commercial warehousing use will have a dramatic negative impact on the property values of the neighboring homes and nearby residential communities and will result in a devaluation of residential properties where many of us have placed our largest investment into our homes. Item eight, there is also a considerable concern for safety given that crime has been noted on the rise at many storage facilities in Delaware and throughout the country as a whole as cited by recent local national news and by Delaware State Police statistics. These facilities are often open late nights, 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., have people coming and going, a facility with bright floodlights. There will be chain link fences, even if they are only on the sides and rear. It's not appropriate or compatible within our peaceful and quiet residential neighborhood. And I'd also like to take this opportunity to make note of a similar application for conditional use of land, CU 1998, which was also an AR1 agricultural residential district for a self-storage facility to be located at 16542 Old Mill Road in Lewis, Delaware.
That subject property was located only 500 feet from Coastal Highway and neighboring commercial properties, including Tendall's Casual Furniture, Meineke Car Care Center, and numerous others, as identified on the overhead aerial image included in the package provided to the commission. That motion was carried unanimously by the commission on December 11, 2014, with the recommendation that the application be denied, and was subsequently denied by the county council on December 16, 2014. We hope that the commission will follow the precedent of that decision in the recommendation to the city council, to the county council, pardon me. And finally, we believe and trust that you, our Planning and Zoning Commission, will see that this is not an appropriate use for land located within our residential neighborhood and will do what is best for the residents of our community and forward this application to the Sussex County Council with a recommendation that this application be denied for the reasons stated.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Who's next? We had an arm up over here. Someone in opposition. Oh, you were pointing out my next guest. Thank you. Thank you for the assistance. Yeah, at my age, my eyesight's not all that good, and even with the glasses.
Yes, my name is Thomas Malley. I live at 16 Avondale Drive in Ocean View, Delaware. I was one of the homeowners that received one of the letters, and I'll be affected with the 200 feet of the facility. I'm representing the community of Hunter's Run, which is comprised of 88 residential homes. I would ask the commission if the members that have come up here tonight just to stand to acknowledge their presence.
Pardon me? Of your
I was
group?
Wondering if the commission would allow the members that came
sure.
up from Hunter's Run to stand.
Sure, stand.
To
that's fine. Sure. Welcome, everyone. Glad to have you here.
This parcel of land is located within a heavily residential area with family residences located to its left, to its right, to its rear, and immediately across the street, as well as countless neighboring residential communities. A conditional use of this type, which is essentially in the form of warehousing, is not appropriate for this location. The property is currently zoned AR1, agricultural residential, and the use of all adjacent properties and nearby properties is residential, except for three, which include a local farm stand, a garden center, Melson Funeral Home, which offers considerable green space and trees. The conversion of this property to warehousing use is not compatible with the predominantly residential nature of this neighborhood and the residential roadways. 19 large box warehouses comprising nearly 4,600 square feet are not appropriate for this site and are out of character with the residential setting of Money Neck Road. There is considerable concern for safety given crime is on the rise at many storage facilities in Delaware and the country as a whole has been cited by recent local and national news and by the Delaware State Police statistics. The property is located on a very dangerous blind curve that will become increasingly dangerous and extremely hazardous given the increase in traffic that will result from the commercial project dislocation. We are concerned that the location of the commercial mini storage warehousing facility will have a dramatic negative impact on property values of the neighboring homes and nearby residential communities in which many of us placed our large investments into our homes and our community. Personally, mine's a retirement home. I've lived here haven't had a home for 17 years. I question the need for a facility of this type because there are already four in the area. There are two on Route 26, one on Burbage, and one on Route 17. If you're not familiar with the area, visit it and envision it with the facility in place. I'm sure you would not purchase a home or desire to live within 200 feet from or in the area of this type of facility. In this case, the drawbacks surely outweigh the only benefit, profit for the owner. Please consider the factors that we have listed before you arrive at a decision in this matter. We are concerned citizens who strongly oppose this application for conditional use of land and urge the leaders to act now to recommend to deny the proposed ordinance of conditional use number 2107 for a mini storage facility in our residential community. And I'd also like to present a petition signed by 50 members of our community.
Thank you, sir.
In closing, I'd like to thank the whole board and their service to the county and also the state of Delaware.
Thank you very much. Who's next? Yes, sir, please come up. I do assure you that each commissioner has been by this site, probably many times.
Hi, I don't want to be repetitive. I'll try to be
name
brief.
Name and address.
William
please.
Anderson is my name. I live at 33320 Elder Lane. I'm fairly close to the property. I'm within a few hundred feet. I got a letter as well. It took a lot for me to be here tonight. I actually know the current owner of the property. His name is Michael Coolidge, and I really like him. His mother and I are close friends, and the fact that I am here, I think, hopefully will speak that this is, if, like he said, if we could just zap you there and you could see this neighborhood, you could see the space, you could see all of the homes surrounding it, it so doesn't fit. It's so out of character with what's around it. I know change is inevitable. I expect this man to be able to sell his land at some point in time, and something will go there. Not a 46,000-square-foot storage facility, please. Anything else but practically. You know, we really were thinking, gee, what could be the worst thing possible to go there a few years ago? Thinking, well, you know, one of the five things we came up with was a storage facility. So thank you for your time, and I hope you will recommend against this.
Who's next? Anyone else? Yes, sir. Wait till you get to the mic so we can get it on the
Stephen
tape.
Schaffner.
Thank you.
17 Avondale Drive.
Thank you.
Nothing was brought up about stormwater management. I saw that on the
there's a required in the site plan when it gets to that point.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
No.
I know there's a pond right there. I would be concerned about runoff from maybe fuels, oil spills, and whatnot in there. It's 46,000 feet of impervious ground now, right? If it's all blacktopped. So I thought that should be mentioned.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Damian Golden, and I live at 38200 Muddy Neck Road, and I am in agreement with the opposition. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else in opposition to this application? Yes, sir.
Mike Atkins, 33387 Lazy Daisy Lane. I've lived across the street, or my parents have, since 1971. I've ridden my bike on this road. That curve's a problem for me, living across it. I've seen a lot of accidents. And also where Mr. Galbraith lives in Southampton, when they first proposed that, they had many storage in there, and that got nixed before it actually got developed. So that developer there at that time didn't feel a need for many storage, and I don't think anything has changed. And I'd like for you to consider my opposition on this.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Yes, sir.
My name is Bill Clemens, 38197 Muddy Neck Road. That was my house that they showed on there. That's my brother-in-law who's selling the property, and I live next door to my mother-in-law who's neutral because that's her son. But I agree with everything everybody said. My name wasn't on the petition because I never seen it, but I do agree it doesn't belong there at all. So I just want that known. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clemens. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Natalie Reddick, and I own a property in Southampton, and I am in agreement. I have submitted a written opposition, and I am in agreement with what everybody else has said. I just wanted to state it by my presence, and I don't know if it's been said enough, but I am also concerned about the impact on traffic. There have been times during the summer, because of the increase in housing, that people are using that road to get to the beach. There have been times when traffic has actually been backed up to that property site because of congestion. So I would like you to consider our concerns as neighbors. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
My name is Russell Rubel, and I live at 3320 Elder Lane, which is just behind and just east of the property. And I agree with everything that's been put forth as well. But one other thing I just want to call out to is albeit the plan shows, I think, 19 or 20 buildings, the reality is with only 15 feet between each of those buildings, as you can see on the plan, that is going to read as one massive 15-foot-tall building, one big, wide entity, which is absolutely not in keeping with the residential area. And the fencing, you know, it's a matter of aesthetics, whether it looks good or not. If what's proposed, you know, you can say it's a prison, you can say it's a chicken yard, you can say it's whatever. But the other thing is with the lighting, even though the lighting will be pointed perhaps downward or against the building, depending on the finishes on the building, that light throughout different times of the year actually reflects up into the sky, no matter how well or what your best intentions are. And one thing that wasn't pointed out is if that lighting is going to be only internally oriented or if there's going to be some on the outside of those buildings as well, because I would have a sense that you'd want to somehow provide security at the perimeter of this installation because you have multiple little entry points. So even though the lighting's going to be on the inside, outside, whatever, it's going to be reflecting off the finishes of the building, and I think you're still going to have a big light halo that will affect the surrounding properties.
Thank you. Anyone else in opposition? Seeing no one rise, anyone on the commission have any questions? Mrs. Walls?
None for me, thank you.
Mr. Whitehouse?
Thank you.
Mrs. Cornwell?
None, thank you.
Mr. Robertson?
None, thanks.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close the public hearing. You're welcome to stay with us this evening to see if we make a decision or call the office in the morning. Now, since there's so many of you, I know you're going to get up and get out. And usually when people get up, they start talking. And we still have quite a bit of business through here tonight. So if you choose to leave, please leave quietly, okay? Thank you. Our next public hearing is Subdivision 2017-11, Stonewater Creek, Phase 7, 7 Branch, LLC.
This application is a cluster subdivision. The cluster subdivision for the creation of 100 single-family lots with private roads and open space. The property is located on the west side of Indian Mission Road, Route 5, across from Cannon Road, Route 307. The tax parcel is District 234, Map 16, Parcel 19, Parcel 19.02, 19.04, 19.05, 19.06, and 208 through 277. The zoning district is AR1 Agricultural Residential District. Staff would submit for the record an exhibit booklet, a site plan, comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, the PLUS letter, the response to the PLUS letter, DENREC comments from the Groundwater Recharge Department, the Delaware Electric Co-op, the Department of Agriculture, the Office of Drinking Water, the Fire Marshal's Office, DENREC Fish and Wildlife, and the Air Quality Department Division. Thank you.
Mr. Schrader, how are you doing tonight?
Mr. Chairman, how are you this
evening? I thought Mr. Hutt had a monopoly on the business, right?
I had to wait tonight. Yeah. Uncomfortable. Good evening. For the benefit of the record, my name is Dennis Schrader. I'm attorney for the applicant, 7 Branch LLC. I have with me Randy Mitchell, who is a principal of that company, and I also have Jason Palkowitz and Frank Key from Solutions IPEM, who are the design professionals involved in this project. They're from here in Georgetown. This previously has been approved as Stonewater Creek Phase 7, a portion of a larger project, as a straight subdivision, and that took place in 2008. This particular project that we're looking at tonight is 60.29 acres. It is in an agricultural residential district. As a standard subdivision, it could have 70 dwelling units placed upon the project. And we are proposing tonight for your consideration a cluster subdivision. And this cluster subdivision could yield as many as 120 dwelling units on the 60 acres, but in fact, our proposal is only for 100 dwelling units. The project is located in a low density area and a level 4 in the state's strategies map. For spending, we have submitted to you a number of exhibits in an exhibit book that include an executive summary, which gives you a narrative of the project overview and the compliance with the applicable regulations. In addition, we have provided you with a number of tabbed exhibits, which will give you all of the various documents and data that you may need to make an informed decision on granting this a cluster subdivision status. I have, as I've stated, Mr. Palkowitz and Mr. Key with me, who are going to provide the technical engineering and design type data